Today, the 6th of Elul, is the...
David Swamnicki.
Welcome. Today is the yard site of the Vera Shimshon. The Vera Shimshon, I think, came into vogue just over a decade ago. And... it was he. His name was Rav Shimshon Chaim Nachmani, a tzaddik, I think, in the Italian area. And people found his forum and saw that they were tremendously enlightening. He made certain comments which hadn't been found, I guess, until I don't know how many years ago. He says, "I'm looking at the 2017 Sefer put out by Art Scroll, right? Where we read his famous promise." That those who will learn his Torah, his Sefer, will see great brachas in their home. A promise that, Baruch Hashem, we have, the author writes, Rabbi Seltzer, actual evidence of, that people had tremendous yeshuas in the schus of learning it. He wrote, I implore my friends, in what he calls the 10 languages of tefillah, to learn the beautiful portions of some of the novel concepts from my work. More importantly, to learn this Sefer Zerah Shimshon after my death, because learning this will be a remedy for my essence, soothing my spirit, and it will be merit to bring merit to my neshama. Those who study it, their righteousness will remain with them forever to benefit in the world they're in now, and to have satisfaction in Olam Haba. The one who rewards shall pay them in the merit of doing the ultimate chesed, right? With the presence, he says, of all three children, which the footnote says refers to a base then of three.
Right.
And they will met children, life, and sustenance, which are dependent upon a person's personal source of merits. And he says, and as for me, my poverty and bitterness, my heart cries that I do not have children and descendants who will survive me and serve after my passing. And so I am forced to follow the footsteps of dignitaries to leave a posthumous bracha. I shall kneel and bow to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and be grateful for all the measures with how he treated me. With his enormous loving kindness, even when expressed with anger, wrath, and such that I lost the only child I had, a son, God still remembered me mercifully and has given me other descendants, which I gather mean his forum. He brought me to the level of being able to plant, he calls, plant growth upon water, meaning Torah. These are descendants of peace and descendants of truth. So he's saying all he has left are spiritual remainders. I called my Sefer Zeresh Shimshon. That's right. Zeresh, children of Shimshon. Now my brother's friends, etc. Here are some seeds. I'm giving you this Sefer. Please plant this and reap the reward of learning Torah with the ultimate kindness. Your eyes will see children and children's children, the olive shoots around your table. Your homes will be full of all good. Wealth and honor will not cease from your descendants until it will come to the fulfillment of they will see the glory of Hashem and the majesty of Hashem, meaning Mashiach. He will raise a banner for nations and assemble all of the castaway of the Jewish people. God will bring us all back. B'mheira b'yameinu amen is what myself there writes. So there are a number of Sforim out by Art School and others. They print a vort every week, and there's a major Zeresh Shimshon movement. And we'll learn a piece of his Torah on our Parsha, and may his chus yagen aleinu al klal Yisrael. May the promises that he has said he will be able to send please be realized by all of us and all of klal Yisrael. B'mheira b'yameinu. I also want to mention that today is the shloshim of my aunt, who I was very close to, and her neshama should have an aliyah. He goes to the opening item we spoke about, the Eshes Yefas Toyar, the beautiful woman who you want. And he says, Rashi tells us that this law applied only in the case of a voluntary war. We're going to expand the area of Eretz Yisrael. Because when it came to the mandated wars of taking out the nations in Canaan, we weren't allowed to leave anyone alive. And Rashi says, as we pointed out, the Torah will allow you to take yourself a wife of this beautiful woman is recognition of the Yetzer Hara's powerful pull during war. This is a special dispensation allowing a soldier to marry a beautiful foreign woman and make it halakhically possible. And he says, hold on a second. He says, if the entire Heter, right, is to placate a Yetzer Hara, why is this only done during an optional war and not through the Melchemes Mitzvos, the mandatory wars? He says, the Yetzer Hara's pull is equally powerful in any type of war. So why is it only in a voluntary war that this is allowed? The halacha brought by the Rambam, Hilchas Melachim, Perek 8, Halacha 3, is that a Yafas Toar was only allowed while she was in captivity. And what is captivity? We're told that when Klal Yisrael took over Canaan and expelled the seven nations, there was no captivity, because you had a requirement from Hashem to kill every man, woman, and child. Captivity is when something is when a war is over and the enemy has been totally vanquished. In the other mandatory wars, there's no one left. So there's no one to take. The Torah says you have to slay all males by sword in a voluntary war, and only then may you take captive women and children, along with animals that are left and other spoils. First win the war, and only then are you allowed to turn your mind to this alluring woman. This is the only time they were actual captives, and that's why it was possible. But the Veresh Shimshon, he says, has another approach too. This is Rabbi Nachum Seltzer writing. He says, when it came to the wars to kill the nations who were in Canaan, every member of Klal Yisrael was obligated equally to kill every member of that society. No one could live. He says there could never be a Yafas Toar, because even if one soldier said, I want this woman, another Jew had the mitzvah to kill her and likely would. She wasn't going to survive. It's only when we have a voluntary war, when you have captives, that this possibility exists. Zeresh Shimshon and many other writers turn to the next very important mitzvah that were famous, Shiluach HaKan. When there's a bird's nest in your midst, then you're required to send away the mother bird, and you may take the young for yourself. And we're told the Gemara in Makkos, it's actually the Mishnah first in Makkos, we may not say the reason for Shluach HaKan, for sending away the mother bird, is because the Kaddish Baruch Hu extends mercy to birds. If someone tries to make this connection and says that, for example, may you have mercy on us like the mother bird, we shut them up and we say, you don't know what you're talking about. It's all wrong. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us mitzvahs. We don't know the reasons, and we're not supposed to try to determine on our own what the reason is. It's not our responsibility to decipher HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intentions or motivations. And yet, he says, if you look at the Medrash in Devarim Rabbah, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have mercy on animals. He shows mercy to birds as well. And it says, where do we know this from? And it quotes this Koslik. So now we've got a contradiction. Don't say it's mercy, but the Medrash seems to be alluding to a measure of mercy. Another point. He says, the reward for some mitzvos is honor. The reward for other mitzvos is wealth. The reward for Shluach HaKan, as Erev Shimshon says, is having children. He says, when it says you shall take the young for yourself, that's an allusion to being zoche to have children. And the question is, what's the connection? The Erev Shimshon answers this last question by bringing another medrash that says, doing this mitzvah will hasten the arrival of Moshiach. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Moshiach will only come once every neshama waiting in heaven, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, treasure house of souls, has been put into a body on our earth. This mitzvah hastens Mashiach, he says, and therefore it's reasonable to assume it will also give the one who does it the merit of having children. Because by giving us children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more rapidly taking neshamas out of the storehouse, and so there's less neshamas that need to exit, and Mashiach could come quicker. But he says, again, there's got to be more of a connection. And he quotes the Zohar. He says, Vishach has a commentary, tells us that when a person does shiluach haken, when the person sends away the mother bird, it says the mother bird is filled with tremendous pain over her missing offspring and cannot find peace and wants to kill itself. This causes incredible pain to the angel in charge of the birds, who comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks for mercy for the mother bird. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes filled with mercy. And Hashem says, if the angel is seeking mercy for the bird in his care, I, who am a merciful God and the source of all mercy in the world, have got to extend greater mercy to my children who I exiled and whose Beis HaMikdash I destroyed. So, the Erev Shimshon says, there is an element in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan that arouses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. But it is still absolutely wrong to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed this mitzvah as a means to mercy. He says the mercy is a byproduct of the mitzvah. And it stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu having mercy on the angel in charge of birds. To us, we could objectively say this mitzvah is painful to the mother bird. The mother bird has anguish. she's chased away, and she knows her offspring is going to be taken. So he says, is there a little bit of a disjoint mercy? And he says, but that's the reality. And he says, when you realize that, you now understand, don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is extended to a nest of birds. What it is this mitzvah will end up in a large dose of mercy for Klal Yisroel by Hashem for having exiled us. But that's the byproduct. He says, the main reason any mitzvah is done by anyone is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. And that being the reason for the mitzvah, and that's why we're told by the Mishnah and the Gemara that we should not put this mitzvah in the realm of God giving mercy to the birds. Rav Steinsaltz, Torah is now being sent out weekly by the Steinsaltz Center, the people responsible for printing his forum. And he says, there's a discomfort built into our parsha, and he says, I want to dwell on it. He says, learn that there is an isser to overwork an ox that is threshing. And yet, you can wipe out all of Amalek. As we just saw, we send away a mother bird before taking her eggs. And yet, a few chapters later, right? We show no mercy to a nation. He says, tenderness and severity don't alternate in any sort of orderly sequence. They come up against one another, and we have questions. He said, we would normally divide mitzvahs into essentials. We would say the most critical mitzvahs, do not murder, worship idols, etc. And we wouldn't consider those on the same level of not muzzling an ox when it's eating or sending away the mother bird. He says, we might think that this is a message, a result of attaining a certain maturity in our religious practice. And yet, the Torah prohibits such thwarting. And the Torah, right, when it can put in a parsha, save the bird but kill a molech, is there for a reason. He says, let's look at the 10, quote, commandments, sayings. He said, is the losas, that do not covet, right, as grave as killing someone? And he mentions what we just said, that the Gemara says, you can't say that this mitzvah of the mother bird is a method of compassion, that it's the prime thing you should pray, you know, extend mercy to us like a bird. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs are decrees. They're not here for us to decipher their reason or why they're important. He says, this is a very, very difficult concept teaching. And he says, I don't want to soften the effect. There, God is a God of rachamim, mercy. But when we ourselves take a mitzvah and say, oh, we feel this is God's expression of mercy, we are making ourselves the judge and jury on God's halachas. And the danger is that if we do that, we may then turn to saying, okay, which are the right halachas to keep and which are those don't make sense to us. He says the Torah, so organized around human language and, more importantly, human logic, is a Torah that we can outgrow it. He says, I'm going to quote the famous Kotzker Rebbe. He says, a God who can be understood by everyone is not worth serving. A law that we can fully explain no longer requires any act of emunah, faith. All it needs is for us to agree, yeah, it makes sense. He said, kiseitze, by having halachas that seem, you would say, merciful, and those that we would say, maybe we would at first glance say, are really too harsh, right, is to teach us that we are not required, and we shouldn't attempt to find what we call the true meaning behind the halachas. The movements that left Judaism, such as Reform, etc., right? Oh, to be a Jew is to have a good heart, right? And then you can forget about what the body does, because I feel good about other people, so I can do what I want. And that's not the Torah that we have. Okay.